good to see you all here. And the first thing I want to say, just a deep thank you for those that pray, for those that minister God's word. Very much appreciated and needed. This morning, I've been given the portion of scripture of Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 21. Before I read that, there is an awful lot has to be understood before you really know what's going on here. Very important. We have a similar time of as this in Matthew chapter 11 to chapter 13, and it unveils or uncovers an awful lot that's needed to understand this passage. And in there, first of all, in Matthew 11, it talks about John the Baptist, that he's in prison, and he's getting doubts as to whether the Lord Jesus is the Messiah. So he sends people, and the Lord does a bunch of miracles, and sends them back, tells them to tell him what they saw. And it was what was predicted about the Messiah. Then it goes on, and it tells us how that the places the Lord visited and the rulers rejected it. We will not have this one to reign over us. They rejected it, that he was the Messiah, although all the miracles were done and everything. Then in chapter 12, first of all, the disciples go and start eating, plucking the wheat off the crop in the field and eating it. And this enraged the Pharisees that they were breaking the Sabbath. Next, he heals a man with a withered hand. This enraged them more. And then he cast the devil out of a person. And this enraged them so much, they accused the Lord Jesus that he is doing this by the power of Satan. Then they had crossed a line and everything changed. The Lord warns in chapter 12, verse 42. I'm referring to some of this because of time. In chapter 12, verse 31, maybe 11:31, I'm not sure. Anyway, he warns them that if someone speaks against God or against the Son, they're forgiven. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. And then what happens is rather interesting. And we're going to turn to some of these verses. From then on, in Matthew chapter 11, let's go to that one first. Verse 10, Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. I'm going to lose my mouthpiece here. I can't see with my glasses close, and I can't, it's just a blur out there to see you. Okay, Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. After all I've told you kind of has happened here, and for this is he, that's not the verse, it's a 12, maybe it's chapter 12, verse 10. That's the withered hand. Is it 13? Might be 13. Okay. So after all this has happened, and the Pharisees have accused him of doing this through the power of Satan, Jesus starts talking in parables to the Pharisees and Sadducees and rulers. And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And then in verse 12, 43, or let's go down to verse 13 and 14 and 15. He gives the answer to this. Therefore, verse 12, let's read it too. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they shall see, and your ears, for they shall hear." Here had happened a watershed experience. The Lord Jesus, from here on, speaks to them in parables that they don't understand. We were talking about mercy this morning. There is a time, the Bible says, for every person, that God's mercy, as a sinner, will close. And his choice will stand. Here, at this point, Jesus clearly tells his disciples that these rulers and these Pharisees have made their heart hard. They've closed their eyes. They've made their heart gross. They have rejected him. And that now, seeing, they won't see. He is going to speak to them in parables. And at this point, something happened. The Lord Jesus starts to open up a new thing, a brand new thing. The nation of Israel at this point is starting to be set aside. And the Lord Jesus is moving toward something new, that both Jews and Gentiles are going to have a brand new way to come to God and to worship him. And as this happens, we are told about this in verse 35. Is it of 12 or... No, I think it's chapter 13 in verse 35 here. And it's 12. It's supposed to be 12. Okay. No, it isn't 12. I think it's 13:35. Okay. So he tells them here, 13:35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Here, from here on in chapter 13, the Lord gives 7 parables, all about the kingdom of heaven. And it's those 7 parables. He says, okay, they have rejected. They are set aside. Now I'm going to go and start something brand new. And these 7 parables give us insight into what this new thing is. It calls it a mystery of the kingdom of heaven or of God. And each one of the parables is that. And that time period, this is how things are going to be new. And he gives that this was hidden from the foundation of the earth. The Apostle Paul tells us the church was hidden from the foundation of the earth. They didn't know about it. What the prophets saw, do you have the chart or don't you? If you don't, that's fine. What the prophets saw was they saw Israel, and they were promised tremendous promises if they obey God. If they don't, they were going to be punished, and tremendously punished. And then that God someday would bring them into the land of Israel again in unbelief. We have that through Ezekiel and other prophecies, Zechariah and a bunch of prophecies. I don't have time to go there. But then when they come in unbelief, God is going to turn on the heat. And there's going to be a time that's so terrible that if it wouldn't be shortened, nobody would be alive on this earth. But that time's going to be shortened. And at the end of that time, there's only going to be a remnant of the Jews left. And we read about that in Zechariah, and that they are going to accept their Messiah. And then the Messiah's going to come. It's what he said, blessed, when he rode in the donkey into Jerusalem. You're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And that is when that will happen. They will look on him whom they have pierced and accept him. Jesus, according to the prophets, is going to set up a kingdom with that remnant. And the whole earth is going to be blessed immensely through that remnant, through the kingdom Jesus is going to set up. All of the Gentile nations are going to be blessed through Jerusalem. The law is going to come forth from Jerusalem. And, well, there's many prophecies about that have never been fulfilled. And when that happens, the whole world's going to be blessed through the nation of Israel, from the law coming from there. And that is one reason why the nation of Israel is still here. God has yet, if the nation of Israel can be trampled down and annihilated, then God's promises can't be fulfilled. He has yet promised to bless all of mankind, all of this world, immensely through that nation. So here, as we come here to our passage, understanding that, he's got it down here. Here you can see, at this time, our passage is still here before the cross, but then comes the church age, Israel set aside until the Lord takes the church out. We read about a resurrection where only believers are raised and caught up into the air. And that happens here. Then we have God dealing with Israel and the nation. And when they accept him, he comes back and he sets up his kingdom. But the Lord Jesus is preparing us for the church age because of the hard-heartedness and the rejection of the Jewish nation of their Messiah. Maybe I'll just read it as we go along. It's very interesting here, this passage, how this comes out. This whole passage is portraying this, showing the rejection, the setting aside of Israel, this new thing coming. And so let's start off there. It's put into about three, four different sections. First of all, we have him talking about women that are with him, and then the parable of the sower, then the parable of the candle, he talks about the candle, then solemn warnings, and then those that are his. So let's read verse 1 to 3 here. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and shewing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chos, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. You know, I was touched to read those verses. How little we read about the ministry of women to the Lord Jesus. They are there, and the Lord points it out. But here, he points it out that these women were there and ministered unto him of their substance. They made sure he had clean clothes. The clothes were sewed or fixed or patched. And food there. And it was these women we read about that stood at the cross with him. These women came to the tomb to bring spices and anoint his body. And you know, at the judgment seat of Christ, they will be recognized. How thankful I am for women that God has given to us, as they serve often in the background, but it's not forgotten, and it is needful. We thank God for that. Let's go on to verse 4 to 15. We have the parable of the sower. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection, but that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. A parable that we all know very well. Tremendous. Jesus is saying here that I am here sowing God's word. And it's going to fall into four different places. We have one person sowing here in this parable, one seed, four different places it fell, and four different results. So the Lord Jesus says that he is sowing God's word, or going out to sow God's word. He's spreading the word of God, and he is doing it to the multitude, to all, to everybody. Everyone's hearing. And that he is sent from God to be their king and their savior. He's spreading that word at that time yet. And they didn't accept him, some of it. Some of it fell in different places. We're going to look at that one by one. But I just want to ask a question here. That we as believers, we're going to see later on in this chapter that we are to spread God's word too. We're to shine forth the message of Christ. Are we? Are we? There's many opportunities to witness, and if we're alert, God lays them in our lap. And I think of myself, many I've missed. Some I should have probably said more, especially brought the scriptures into it. But this is a challenge. In Luke 24:47, it tells us that we're supposed to go out and preach this message that through Jesus there is remission of sins through repentance. If we come with repentance, that there is remission of our sins through the Lord Jesus for anyone and everyone. The message is for all. Well, this sower sows, and he throws some seed. Some falls on the roadway or a path. And that soon gets eaten up by birds or gets crushed and trampled down. Matthew tells us that gets trampled down on the rock by the feet of those who walk there. I think, in fact, I know the rulers and the Pharisees were that. They heard the word. It went in one ear and out the other. They did not allow it to have any effect on them at all. And the other, someone might on the wayside hear it, and Satan comes along, and he doesn't want them to believe it. And What do they do? They just, oh, that's not for me. I don't want that. And I'm not interested. And we get to a lot of those when we witness that they just, I had one person tell me when I started witnessing to him, a nice person, I liked him. But as soon as I started witnessing about the Lord, he simply said, my father told me, when I leave home, I leave my religion at home. But there's those that push it off. We don't want it. We'll find them. Thereby, the wayside. And what Satan might tell them is, what will others think if I believe this? Or what do I have to give up? Or, well, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to lose. That's a matter of fact. But then some fell on rock, and they received the word with joy. I have seen this many times too. Somebody makes a profession of salvation, and they're all bubbly and happy about it and excited about it, and soon it dies down and disappears, and they go back to the life they had before. There's been a long time as I looked at these parables. Were those believers, true believers, or weren't they? I personally don't think so anymore because of the wording of the good ground. None of these others have that wording. On the rock here, there were several problems. There wasn't much ground, so there wasn't any moisture. So everything was fine until the sun started shining and things started to dry up. And as life got rough as a Christian, persecution and hard times came along. It sprung up as soon as, okay. And then here in the interpretation, as hard times, persecution and temptations came along, they fell away. The importance of God's word. When a person is saved, it just can't be an experience. It has to be grounded on God's word. When Satan comes and trials come, you go back to God's word. What does God's word say? And there's three references I have here. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus says, said unto him, unto Nicodemus, and verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's not just an experience. It's not a thing just in the mind. It's a grounding on the word of God that when trouble comes, we go back to the Bible. That's what God says. I rest on it. That is so needed. In Ephesians 5, it talks about the washing of water by the word, how that the word infiltrates our life and it lifts out through us. It is our life. It's the word of God that gives us life and strength and stability. Titus talks too about the washing of regeneration and so forth. Just a profession has to be grounded on God's word or it won't stand. It won't stay. That is where we get our strength and life from. Then as some fell on thorny ground, and this ground, this probably was a lot better for seed because everything grew, but so did the thorns. And in the interpretation in verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Some will receive it with joy, maybe on a deeper basis than the rocky ground, but other things become their priority. They don't have time to talk to the Lord every morning. They don't have time to read His word, to study it, and to grow in it. They don't have time for God's people and God's things. It's just not a priority. And other priorities and activities start taking over their life, and their Christian life goes to nothing. The last, next, is that which fell in good ground. And I like the writings or the what it says about that. In Matthew, it tells us that some got 100 bushels, some 60, and some 30. So it didn't all produce the same. But what it does say, they received the word with an honest heart and a good heart, and they kept it. That's genuineness. I have a warning here. First of all, are you saved? Have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, knowing that you're lost? You're lost from God. You're under His judgment. You need a Savior. Have you come to Jesus and told Him that and asked Him to save you? And has it been a clear understanding? Have you trusted Him completely? It is so important. Jesus gives us three warnings after this about how we hear. What are we hearing? How are we hearing? It is of utmost importance. And verse 16 to 18 gives us those warnings. But before the first thing he starts off, I think here, I never thought of this before until I studied here. It's a very interesting verse. We've learned it as children in Sunday school, verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, or setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. I believe it's true. We are to be lights. But I think Jesus is doing something else here. I think he is saying, I'm lighting a new candle. I want you to let that light shine. I'm moving from here, from the nation of Israel, to a new thing, the church. And later on, he tells us very clearly, he wants us to be witnesses and a light to this world. And then he goes on and gives some real serious warnings about hearing. Verse 17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known or come abroad. We may as well be honest. We're not going to get away. It's all going to be revealed. We may as well be honest now and not blush then. I believe as a Christian, our sins are covered. And some of these things, I don't know at the judgment seat of Christ how it'll all be. But there's going to be some stuff burn up and some stuff revealed there. Everything's going to be made known. If you're here acting like a Christian and aren't, have never been truly saved, never received the Lord Jesus, that'll be found out. You can't fool God. The next warning in verse 18, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You might gain a lot of things here, but when this time comes, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Even that which seemed you had, you're going to lose. And you'll be cast into God's judgment forever. Again, we need to look at, what do I want my life to be? Is it something built on that is treasure in heaven and will stand for eternity? If I am a believer in the Lord, that which I do for him will be rewarded. But if I'm not a believer, I'm going to lose all I have and realize I never really had it. It was just given for a time. And then the last thing here I want to mention is Jesus gives another warning. And in verse 19 to 21, this comes out. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. It's easy to talk, really easy to talk. But when reality hits, it's a miracle in our lives if it happens. God makes it happen. We depend on his strength, and he lives through us. Those that are real will do what the word of God says. They will have a hunger for it, and I can attest to that in my testimony. When I realized finally and trusted Christ completely, the Bible came alive. Oh, that's what it means. The songs were full of life. Oh, the joy that welled up that was just words before. Now it was real. We can pray, and God leads and directs in our steps of life. They that hear God's word and do it are the ones that have received the seed into the good ground of their heart, in an honest, good heart, and keep it. And they go on and bear fruit. Where do you stand in all of this? I'm going to leave you answer that question. But remember, grace does not last forever. It does for the believer in Christ. But for those that don't know him, here, the Pharisees, their eyes were closed. And for us too, the Lord comes and convicts at times. And in my life, I found this, a very deep conviction, I should be saved. And I kind of forgot about it, and life went on a while. Then God made something happen and brought convictions back. If we turn that down too often, all of a sudden, in Scripture we see it with the children of Israel, God won't come back. He'll say, I will help you along with your choice, and I'm going to give you exactly what you want. And you've been lost. You've had no more chance to believe. So I challenge you with that. God is not mocked. You can turn him down, but it's when he decides is your last chance, whenever that is, that will be your last chance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have talked about very, very solemn things. Eternity is ahead. And we're going to face you. How? Lord, I pray for each person here. May you touch their hearts with your word and your spirit. And may it be built on your word. And may each heart cleave to you and your word with an honest, good heart and keep it. I just pray for that. How that's a longing of our heart. It's a longing of your heart. You came and died for each one of us. And we thank you for it again. Amen.